Am I saved even if I don't feel saved?
How can I study the Bible more effectively?
More great questions and answers coming right up. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Inkosi Plummer. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Bible Help Desk exists to answer any questions you may have about the Bible, about God, or even life that you're wondering if the Bible addresses. Now, Inkosi, I don't know about you, but I'm really excited to dive in and answer these questions today.
Oh, man, Ruben, I can't wait. But first, we have to take a quick reminder for anyone joining us for the first time. You can send your questions in by texting or calling 833-BIBLE-HD. And if you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can message us there at Bible Help Desk Show. You can also drop us a message via email. Whatever way you would like to send your question, it's easier for us to contact you back if you also leave us your email address, if you have one. Man, Ruben, I'm so excited today because we have some very special guests
on
the show.
We do, and I'm excited to introduce our first guest who will be answering your questions. Dr. Stephen Bauer spent a number of years pastoring before his current position as professor of theology and ethics at Southern Adventist University. He also loves to teach and preach Christ, and his great burden is to equip people to live their lives by faith in what God says. Dr. Bauer, it's such an honor and a privilege to have you here again answering our questions.
Thank you for having me again.
And I am delighted to introduce you to Dr. Galina Stelle. Currently works in research, and she has a doctorate in ministry. Has served as a professor at the Zalsky Theological Seminary in Russia, an editor and a director of missiology. Welcome, Dr. Galina Stelle.
Glad to be here.
Well, before we dive into our questions, I want to turn into the Bible in the book of John, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." What a beautiful promise we have as we read into the scripture, as we understand that God is always thinking about us and he has his mind on us. So as we go through our trials, as we go through the day, as we go through the years, may you remember that God has a promise that he will return and he has so much for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this time that we can come together, Lord, and open up your word, study more about the Bible, answer some questions that hopefully lead to decisions that we can make as followers of Christ. And Lord, as we continue diving into, please be here with the guests that will be answering the questions, that the Holy Spirit may guide them. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So Inkosi, what's the first question we have?
Well, we have a question via text, and it says, "How can I study the Bible more effectively?" So we're going to pass this to Dr. Stelle. This is a great question because sometimes you enter into the Bible and just like, where do I start?
Yeah.
So how can we study and how do we study the Bible more effectively?
I'm so happy that some people would like to study the Bible. And even more happy that some people would like to know how to study the Bible effectively. So this is really a good question. So the following advice maybe can help you. First of all, let us remember that the Bible is God's word. And so we can understand it better when God helps us with his help. And this is exactly what happened when Jesus came to the disciples after resurrection. And he began to explain the scriptures to them. So let us look at Luke 24:45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So the first advice is pray, asking God to open your mind to understand the scripture. Then another advice is use additional literature, for example, Bible commentaries. These commentaries can help you to understand better geographical context, also, cultural context, also some terms, some idioms, and also maybe some explanations why this text is in the Bible. And also, we need to remember that when we read the Bible, we can see that the Bible is divided, the chapters, each chapter in the Bible is divided into passages. So another good approach is ask yourself these questions. How the passage that I am reading is connected to the passage before and to the passage that follows after it. You know, I am always surprised how many ideas and thoughts come to my mind when I ask just these two questions. Another thing that we need to remember that the Bible is revelation of God himself. And so when you're reading the Bible, ask this question, what this text or this passage is telling me about God? And let us read John 5:39. These are words of Jesus. And he said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Mm. So remember that Bible is about Jesus. It's about God. And ask yourself this question when I'm reading it, what new things I knew about God, about Jesus? And another thing, that the Bible is also a revelation of God's will regarding our lives. So the good questions also are that we can ask ourselves, how can I apply what I learned or what I read to my personal life? Mm. What can I change maybe? Or what does this passage ask me to do? Because God wants to transform us through the reading of his word. And let us read another passage, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Mm. So I hope that this advice can help you to study the Bible more effectively.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Shtelly, for that spiritual and practical advice, especially from taking it to application and looking at it from word to application. Dr. Bauer, do you have anything to add on how we can study the Bible more effectively?
I think it was well covered, but I would summarize and say this. We should study the Bible to find God's will, not to prove our own point. And so if we're really going in to seek God's will, then his Spirit will help us effectively study it.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you so much. I think that when I go into the Bible, yeah, I'm going to take this advice.
Yeah.
Looking for God's will, looking for a spiritual and practical application in word and in truth.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for those great answers. Our next question.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump in. I was really into that first question because learning how to study the Bible more effectively. Well, let's go into our next question that came to us. And it says, can God help my loneliness? Mm. Wow. That seems to be a question that probably a lot of people can relate to and maybe are asking themselves as well. So I want to turn to you, Dr. Shtelly. Does God help with our loneliness, which it seems that maybe a lot of people are going through this right now?
Exactly. And I would like to say that we have good news. Mm. Yes, of course, because we are children of God, because you and me, we're his children. And we have some passages in the Bible where God relates to us as a father. And let us read from Prophet Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. Mm. And another passage that I really like, and this is from Psalms 139:1-6. And Psalmist David, King David, describes so beautifully that God never leaves us, that he is present every minute, every second in our lives. Let us read these passages. O Lord, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before what is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot understand it. I awake, and I am still with you. You know, another good thing is to remember that God also provided some helper for us so that we could feel not alone in this world. And you probably remember that when Jesus was preparing his disciples that he is soon leave them, he also said to them that they will not be left alone. Let us read these promises about the Holy Spirit who will be always with us. And we will read from Gospel of John. First, we will read from chapter 14 and then from chapter 16. So John chapter 14, 16 through 18. And Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." Wow. And another text from John 16, 13. This is also during the preparation time when Jesus said to them, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So you see, God provided the ways for us not to be alone, not to feel alone, and to feel his presence. And Holy Spirit is always with you, there to instruct, to inspire, to take care, to protect, to guide. But also, God had another means. You know, he organized church, his church on this earth, so that all believers could be gathered together and love each other and take care of each other, not to feel lonely. And we can read from 1 John 3:1 that he gave us this right to be called children of God, and so we are. And also from 1 John 3:23, we can read this, that he gave us this commandment, like new commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Selly, for such a comprehensive insight into how God is there for us in our moments of loneliness. And so relatable when you pointed out that the disciples, because a lot of times we think of the disciples in Kozia as just being people who just took on the mantle that they were given, but they felt that loneliness, and God promised, Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit. And that's such a good reminder, and that that church family is so important in helping one another. Thank you so much, Dr. Selly, for that. What do we have next?
Amen. We have another question here through text. How do you know God is a he, and does it matter what we call him? Well, that's a pretty deep question in a world where we have all of the pronouns. Does it matter, Dr. Bauer?
I think it matters because of respect to God. He reveals himself as, quote, a father. Now, almost everybody agrees that God himself has no particular gender, but particularly in the context the Bible was written, he performed the role of father to provide and nurture and so forth at a larger level. And so, for example, in Malachi, the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 10, we have, it opens, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" So God, again, reveals himself as a father. Jesus instructed us to pray to God as our Father. He always called him Father. So as a matter of respect, we call God what he calls himself this way. Now, the Bible does have some maternal imagery of God, and I'm just going to allude to text without reading each one. In Psalm chapter 91 and Deuteronomy 32, for example, God is depicted as gathering Israel under his wings. That's a mother bird protecting her young under her wings. And so that's a maternal trait, even though God is a father. Likewise, Galena just read Dr. Stila in the previous segment, Isaiah chapter 49, you know, can the woman forget her suckling child, but I won't forget you. And so we find God using feminine attributes, but never revealing himself as a woman or as a mother figure as such. It's always as father. So we respect him. Romans 8, as I recall, he sends the Spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, which is kind of like the equivalent of daddy, father, this way. And so as a matter of respect, we do that. Also, it has theological implications. In the pagan world, when you had a feminine god, creation happened through acts of birthing, and what was birthed then was viewed as another form of deity. And so this would feed into the deception that if God created us as a mother, then we would be part of her substance, and thus we would be a form of God. You shall be as gods. So the pronoun he and the metaphor of father helps preserve the transcendence that God is different from us. We are not God, and we relate to him as a superior to us. So I think there are several theological reasons why we do that, but we always remember God as such is neither male nor female in the scripture, but he relates to us in the role of father.
Wow. I love that. The characteristics of both a father, a loving father, and a loving mother. And God is not us, so he does not have a gender, but we relate to him as a father in respect. That's very deep. Dr. Stelle, can you please just add some more, you know, a female perspective to this as well? Does it matter if we call God he or him?
I think the best thing is to call him as he revealed in the scripture.
Amen.
And as already was mentioned, that Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, our Father. So it's better to relate as that. But at the same time, I would like to say that nature of God is a big mystery. Mm. And our human language is very limited to describe heavenly things. Mm. And so if we could explain God, he would not be God.
Yeah, right.
And at the same time, I would like also to say that God's nature combines both genders. And we remember from the Genesis first chapter, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And he created male and female. He created them. So we will know more about God when we will see him in the future.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Stelle. Wow, these questions are pretty deep, yeah. You know. I those are questions I would ask myself sometimes, you know, like, how do I refer to you, God,
yeah.
You know? And I think that we have some very good examples, the example in the Word of God.
Absolutely. And I'm learning a lot myself. I was blown away with some of these answers, and I hope that you yourself are also learning a lot. And so we're going to take a quick break now, but a great way to study the Bible more is to visit our digital Bible study portal at hope.study and get some more answers just like we've been doing now. So go ahead and check it out. Go on that website, and if you prefer to receive paper Bible studies by mail or even in person, just give us a call and leave us an address. We'll be right back with more questions and answers after these messages.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is here to answer your questions from the Bible. If you have a question, go ahead and text it to us at 833-BIBLE-HD or call it in and leave us a voicemail. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
So today our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Galena Stelle and Dr. Stephen Bauer. So Nkosi, let's go ahead and jump into these questions. What's our next question?
All right, straight into the question, how can I be assured of my salvation? Dr. Stelle, what is your answer to this?
Good question and a very important one. Mm. Because all of us want to be safe, right?
Right.
But the first, what I would like to mention is that salvation is a free gift, and it is available for everyone. And let us read John 3:16, very famous and love text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we see that salvation is available for everyone. God has provided this. But another thing is that this is a gift, but you need to accept it. And we also read from Ephesians 2:8 that for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. But the same as with the gift as we receive from our loved ones, from family members, friends, they can prepare the gift. They can even bring the gift. But we only can have the gift if we can, if we receive it, right? If we receive it, open it, look at it, and use it. The same with the salvation. It is available for all, but we need to accept it through faith. And another thing is, the Bible assures us in the reality of salvation. And if we accept this free gift, keep the relationship with Jesus, and allow him to transform us, then this reality becomes ours. But the key is that we need to keep relationship with Jesus because we receive salvation through him. And let us read Romans chapter 5:17, and I will read from New Living Translation. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So we can live this triumphal life through Jesus if we receive this by faith.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shelley. I'm just here thinking about the promise that is Jesus Christ. And anytime someone feels doubt, just go to Jesus Christ, because there's no doubt in him. We just have to believe. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that answer. Dr. Bauer, do you have anything as well to add to that?
I'd like to add a nuance. I thank Dr. Stella for an excellent answer. Part of the problem with the assurance question, in my view, is that it reflects people looking for a particular feeling. How can I feel assured? And feelings can come and feelings can go. Also, feelings can deceive us. We have a whole bunch of people in Matthew 24 who feel saved, and Jesus says, I don't know who you are. So we need something better than feelings, and that is the promise of Christ himself and the person of Christ himself. And it is that trust in Jesus that Dr. Shelley talked about. That's the foundation of surety. But I would propose we need to be sure of our Savior more than being sure of our salvation. If we're sure of our Savior, the rest of it will take care of itself.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Bauer. It just reminds me, you know, we don't need our feelings to judge our God. We need our trust. We need our faith. You know, we need to believe. So thank you guys so much for those answers. I know we have another question.
Yes,
really,
we're
going
to get another question in here, and it comes to us from Danielle, and it says, what is the best way to respect the Sabbath? Dr. Shelley, I'm going to turn to you here for this last question before we wrap up on what is the best way, as the question asks, to respect the Sabbath?
First of all, we should remember that the Sabbath should be a delight, not a burden, but a delight. Time to abide in God, to grow in relationship with him, to fellowship with the other believers, not just a leisure time or a time for our own purpose or pleasure. Let us read a beautiful passage from Prophet Isaiah 58:13-14, the first part of 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly. Then you shall take delight in this day, in the Lord, and I will make you right on the heights of the earth, and so on. So we need to remember that God prepared this day for us to enjoy. And also we can ask a question, what did Jesus do on this day? And we can look through the Gospels, and we can find out that he also went to the synagogue to worship, so we can go to a corporate worship. We can also find that he healed on Sabbath, so we can also visit sick people and those who are discouraged and help them. We also can find that he allowed disciples to eat, and he also had fellowship in the private homes with the disciples and his friends, so we can do the same. And we also should remember that the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. And also, because of that, we can go outside, outdoors, and enjoy beautiful pictures of nature and remember our God, the creator of our world.
Wow. Thank you so much for just painting this beautiful picture that we have here on that the Sabbath should be a delight. And I hope our viewer, and especially our viewer who sent in the question, can remember that as they go through their Sabbath, and may it be a delight. Well, Dr. Shelley, I want to thank you so much for being here with us, as well as you, Dr. Bauer. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us and answering our question.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Shelley and Dr. Bauer. And I also want to thank our viewers for watching and sending in your questions. Remember to text or call or leave a voicemail on Facebook or Instagram. And I also want to encourage you to check out our webpage at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. You can also check out our YouTube account where you can see answers to previously asked questions. Remember our website, hope.study. Thank you all guys for watching.
Take care. Bye-bye.